Today, we're tackling something pretty complex, a forensic look at Session 12 of the Council of Chalcedon. Now, for anyone less familiar, this was a huge deal in 5th century Christianity, really pivotal. It led to a major lasting split, forming what we call the Oriental Orthodox Churches. And our sources today focus on why these churches rejected Chalcedon. We're looking at things like, well, procedural issues, questions of fairness, doctrinally, and specifically the treatment of Dioscorus of Alexandria. He was the patriarch there at the time. Okay, so let's dig into Session 12. The sources point out right away that it set this tone of finality. The introduction actually framed the main theological statement, the definition of faith, as if it was already decided, done deal, before any real discussion.
Yeah, and what's really interesting there is that this definition, it was read out by Aetius, who was the archdeacon of Constantinople. Now, that strongly suggests, you know, that it was put together by a small group, a select committee, not hammered out through open council debate. The bishops were essentially asked to agree, to assent, not really to deliberate or debate it.
Ah, okay, so that's a big procedural flag right there.
Exactly. It points towards, well, a pre-scripted outcome, an agenda being pushed onto the council rather than emerging from it.
So presenting it as already done, that must have immediately put anyone with doubts or different views in a tough spot.
Absolutely. It changes the whole game, doesn't it? It goes from let's discuss this to here's the truth, now agree. That's significant pressure. And this approach, this sort of pre-cooked definition, it then had knock-on effect for how the council handled earlier decisions, earlier councils.
Right. The sources mention a kind of suppression or maybe misrepresentation of what came before.
Yes. Subtly but significantly.
And this is where it gets really intriguing, historically speaking. The definition leaned heavily on Leo's tome. Now, for listeners, Leo's tome was this very influential letter from Pope Leo III about Christ having two natures, divine and human, became super central to the Chalcedonian view. But while the definition did affirm earlier stuff, like the Nicene Creed, it seems like it effectively just, well, sidelined the Second Council of Ephesus, often called Ephesus II.
Precisely. And the key procedural gap was the lack of a full open debate on Leo's tome itself in the main assembly. This wasn't just, you know, an accident. It seems quite strategic. It locked in a specific theological direction. And in doing so, it sort of overrode or just reinterpreted what happened to Ephesus II, especially regarding Dioscorus and his role there. Mm. It basically set the theological terms.
Which brings us straight to these procedural issues. The lack of fair defense, particularly for Dioscorus. His condemnation actually happened earlier, right? But Session 12, by adopting this definition that implicitly backed up those earlier actions.
Yeah, cemented
it. Retroactively.
Yeah. Yeah. It basically locked in his condemnation without reopening the case in light of the final definition.
Yeah.
And this really created a stark double standard. Our sources show Dioscorus was condemned even though he affirmed what he saw as orthodox Christology. Mm-hmm. You know, the definition famously talks about Christ in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably. But Dioscorus held to what's often called a Miaphysite view, one united nature after the incarnation, which he insisted was orthodox. Yet, you have other figures, like Theodoret and Anibus, who faced accusations of Nestorianism that separated the natures too much, and they were eventually brought back into communion. Rehabilitated.
But not Dioscorus.
No, he was definitively condemned, despite arguing his view was orthodox. It looks quite unequal.
So, if we put all these pieces together, the prescriptive definition, the selective memory about past councils, the unequal treatment, our sources seem to be painting a picture where, well, theology maybe took a backseat to politics. Imperial pressure. Emperor Marcian was there pushing for unity.
Undeniably. I think if you connect those dots, the whole act of presenting a pre-made definition and just asking for cheers for acclamation instead of having a proper, potentially messy debate, well, it really points to the emperor wanting a quick, clean result. Unity above all, perhaps even unity over genuine, hard-won consensus. And those loud acclamations that followed the reading, "This is the faith of the Orthodox," they served to solidify that feeling, perhaps a manufactured consensus.
So wrapping up this deep dive, our forensic look at Session 12 really highlights these procedural red flags. You've got pre-scripted outcomes, sidelining previous councils, and a real lack of fair process for people like Dioscorus.
And looking at it this way gives a pretty clear understanding of why the Oriental Orthodox churches just couldn't accept Chalcedon. They saw it less as a fair theological resolution and more as something imposed, driven by politics and imperial power.
Which leaves us with a big question for you to think about. How do these historical events, especially ones that shape core beliefs, show that complex interplay between power, politics, and the search for truth? What really stands out to you from this whole complicated story?